Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. We're here to hang out with you on your work commute, during your work day, whatever it is. We're here to get weird with you. Today's show, we are jumping into part three, and I believe the finale?
Yep, it's the finale.
The abducting a scientist series that Kyle's been diving into, and Kyle's been giving me little hints on the text messages, and apparently this is going to be a banger of a finale. So if you haven't listened to the first two, go back and listen to part one, then listen to part two, then listen to this one. Or, I mean, yeah, I guess you don't have to do it in that order. Live your life. But
yeah,
make sure you hear them before you get to this point. That being said, check us out at all our social medias. We got to get through the business first. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and you will find us there. Come be part of the community. Join the Hollow Cult. It's a good place to be. Good time to hang out, you know. Just come and kick it. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share with us so we can feature it on a future episode of our listener experience episodes, which drop on Thursdays, Kyle's got some information you're going to want.
I do, and it's not about if you want to share it. It's the fact that you have to share it.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to get with it. Start bombarding us again with all your weird, crazy stories. We want them all, and we get to them all. It just takes some time. But in order for us to receive that story, it's simple. You just write it out, shoot it over to the email, hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Simple, easy. Efficient. That's how it is.
The best. We're anxiously awaiting to hear the weirdness. Everybody's got a weird story. Everybody has a weird story tucked away in the back of their brain that they're either too nervous to share with their friends about, or they don't have anybody that's really into the weirdness that'll talk about. Well, we're here. We're friends and we're weird. Yeah. So it works out.
Yeah. And you can even give us your real name. But also your fake name.
Yes. You could just give us a fake name. It don't matter.
It's true.
No matter. Because we're here for the weird.
Yeah. And your secret's safe with us.
It is. It's locked away.
Forever.
Yeah. Until we put it out on the internet.
Yeah. But that's because you want us to.
Yeah. True. So if you'd like to support us, that was a banger lead in. Plenty of ways you can do it. We got a Patreon you can go check out. You can get early shows, ad-free shows, extra shows over there, merch discounts. I know what you're thinking. Merch? What are you talking about? Well, if you go to hollowskypodcast.com, we have a merch store over there. You can check that out. Hopefully soon, we'll be getting some new stock in. We got some ideas for some t-shirts. We're working with a person right now on some logo ideas. So keep your eyes open for those. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review, which we appreciate. But we appreciate even more you sharing the show word of mouth, sharing the show on social media. Sharing the show, graffiti it on the side of government buildings.
Yeah.
But don't tell them we told you to do it.
Yeah, not exactly advisable, but.
No. You don't have to do that. It could be an abandoned building.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see what we're saying.
Yeah, don't get in trouble.
Just putting the word out. If you find a weird obelisk that just pops up in the middle of the desert, slap Hollow Sky on that somebody.
UFO, tag it. Tag that 100% tag a UFO.
If there's Bigfoot, a portal,
Bigfoot.
Yeah, definitely tag Bigfoot. Bigfoot. Not responsible for what happens after that, but
right.
Any publicity is good publicity.
That's questionable, but we'll go with it.
True. But back to a 5-star rating and review. Go to wherever your podcatchers are. Leave us one of them. When I find it, I'll gladly shout you out. Gladly. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend, New Mexico Buckeye. New Mexico says, best of the best, 5-star. The Hollow Sky Boys have this way about them that makes you feel like you're their personal friends when you listen to all of their content. Speaking of the content, it's always interesting and well-researched. The Hollow Boys are always open to new takes on subjects and incredibly interactive with their fans. One of the coolest things they do is read listener stories like the confessionals. Don't forget to hit them up on social media because they respond back. I want to give the Hollow Sky crew a special thanks because they provide the best podcast that keeps me sane when Ohio State football season is in the off season. If Kyle and Steve read this, I want to humbly request a couple items for the Hollow Sky store: gym tank top, basketball jersey, or football jersey. I want to rock these around town to the gym to spread the gospel of Hollow Sky. Your friend, New Mexico Buckeye. Buckeye. Buddy, thank you so much for taking the time to leave those kind words.
I'm with it.
Kyle rocks basketball jerseys.
I 100% would.
Yeah.
Nothing would make me happier.
It might be in the works. Trying to figure it out.
Yeah, if this new logo slaps, we're going to put that on a lot of things.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you updated.
Yep.
We appreciate you taking the time to leave us some 5 stars and write all that niceness.
It is appreciated.
And we try our best responding. We're busy guys.
Yeah.
We got work life. We got family life. We got podcast life. We do try our best. So bear with us, but we're trying.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to keep annoying us.
Yeah. Yeah. Just keep poking.
Yeah. It eventually come full circle.
You know how it is. Oh, but on that note, we're about ready to dive right in. Timestamp 6 minutes, 54 seconds.
We are there.
Part 3, the grand finale. Abducting a scientist. Here we go.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So in the last episode, kind of a short little small recap, we talked about implants. We talked about some of the strange missing time situations Bruce had. And it kind of all ended in this possible family history of alien abductions and even his grandfather maybe passing away due to a implant surgery. Well, this episode starts off with a ominous quote that I found from Bruce, and this is directly out of the book. And he says, "It seemed that wherever I went, they were able to find me. The way a stalking predator never loses the trail of its prey."
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. It does suck.
The phenomena is malicious.
Yeah. He made this statement because he was under the impression that everywhere he went, he would end up witnessing the phenomenon. Even more frightening, and I'm sitting here as I'm writing this, and I can really only come up with two possible situations as to why his father would make this statement to him. The statement is rather terrifying, and it's relatable to a degree as fathers. So he ended up moving to a new home, and right outside his bedroom door was a closet. And inside the closet, it had a trapdoor ladder that would lead to the attic. Well, one day his father pulls him off to the side, and you got to remember, he's young. He's 10 to 12, somewhere in the neck of the woods. His father pulls him off to the side and says, "If you ever need to get into the attic in a hurry, just use this ladder inside the closet." Bruce looks at his dad like he's batshit crazy and bluntly asks him, "Why would I ever need to do anything like that?" As a father, he does not explain why he makes this statement. He just like he says the statement and then howdy 5,000.
Yeah.
In the conversation.
That is very rarely do I need to get in the attic, and never ever do I need to get in the attic quickly.
Right.
So that is a weird
statement. And like as a father, I can understand how some parents like to have little plans for certain situations. Like say if an intruder were to get into the house, it would be nice if everyone in the house kind of had a game plan on what would take place during these situations. That way everybody knows where everybody's at. and that they're safe. And I also understand, at least as far as I'm concerned, you would explain this to your child if that was the case. You know what I mean? I wouldn't personally just go, hey, Gage, if you ever need to get into the attic in a hurry, use this ladder. I'm, of course, going to tell him why he would need to get into the attic in a hurry. Yeah. I just wouldn't leave it blank.
It is. It's such a blanket statement. Like,
yeah,
it would especially be confusing for a little kid, because your mind's going to jump to like the worst conclusions. Like, it could be taken so out of context. Like, oh, if there's a fire, climb in the attic. No.
Yeah, oh yeah. And that's terrible. That's terrible. I also understand everybody kind of parents differently. You know, some people might want to avoid that response to your child in fear of maybe frightening them and putting them into this situation of constant worry. I do get that. However, like I said, from me as a father, I would just flat out tell him that's just kind of how I am. The fact that his father never gave him an answer for the explanation is kind of telling. But once again, I can also understand how parents, like I said, just wouldn't want to create scenarios. And almost as a precursor, something strange would happen one night. Bruce was in bed and he awakens in this state of terror, almost like a sleep paralysis situation. But not quite sleep paralysis. He just wakes up and he's fucking terrified. And he felt like something horrible had just been done to him. He didn't know what it was, but he just felt like, and I'm later on in the episode, I think we'll kind of dance across this vaguely, but I'm almost certain he's referring to, it's not that it's the same experience later on, but I feel like the same type of thing is referred here. But anyways, he's like, I feel like something just absolutely horrible was done to me. I'm freaked out. So he does what any kid does. Gets up and goes to his mom and dad's room. And as soon as he goes into his mom and dad's room, they're sitting up in bed. I don't know if they're watching TV or they're talking or whatever, but they both look at him as he enters the room and he begins to try to say mom, like, cause he wants to tell them that something bad just happened to him. But he says, all he gets out is muh. And then it's like, he said, it's like my vocal cords got shut off. I couldn't speak anymore.
That's weird.
It's yeah. And is so, I'm assuming that the parents thought maybe he was sleepwalking or had a nightmare and was just kind of freaked out. So the dad ends up picking him up, taking him back to his bed, and Bruce ends up falling asleep. Bruce, obviously later on, as he's writing this book, begins to eliminate things from that situation. He eliminates night terrors because he's like, I woke on my own. And in night terror cases, they're typically where the child can't be woken or it's hard to wake them from a night terror state. He also explains how vocal cords can be paralyzed. It's called psychogenic aphonia, which is a sudden loss of voice due to emotional or psychological stress, typically leaving the sufferer only speaking in whispers. In almost all reported cases of this, it takes time to resolve this issue. It doesn't just stop within hours. And Bruce does his homework and he does find a case where an 18-year-old woman was cured extremely quickly. But this woman was cured quickly by using transcranial magnetic stimulation of her motor cortex. Oh. So basically, in order, it's like a psychological injury. So, like, I think that's the best way to put it. Something stressful, psychological happens, and it fucks with their brain so much so that they almost can't talk.
Yeah, like affects other parts of their body.
Right.
when he was talking about the fear, it really made me kind of circle back to like sleep paralysis, the way he was describing it. Like, you feel like, in my experience, you feel like something bad is going to happen or is happening, but you can't do it. Where he's almost like post that spot where he feels like something bad has happened. So I like, you can kind of relate to it,
right?
For people that have experienced sleep paralysis, just that I imagine the fear is probably similar the way he was describing it.
Oh, I'm sure. And Bruce even lays out it's a hypothetical, of course, but he's like, the brain regions involved in psychogenic paralysis could be targeted by electromagnetic field energy from a CBI implant or externally imposed neural control capability to selectively incapacitate any muscle or muscle group in the body over time. So I think what he's basically saying here is that it is hypothetically possible that if he had an implant in his body, that they could essentially use that almost like they did, almost like with the 18-year-old woman where they use the electromagnetic field or whatever to manipulate the brain and shut the vocal cords down. Or they have the ability even outside of the body to do this from a distance, possibly.
That's so,
it kind of makes me think of Havana syndrome to a degree.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, and if you like, if you can go, you can even go different routes with that. Like, a lot of times you hear post abduction experiencers having that like mind speak feeling where they're hearing things in their brain. Like, what abduction case was I reading about here? The Allagash abductions, whereas he was driving home, one of the experiencers, as he was driving home from the abduction, he kept thinking to himself that I need to write this down when I get home. I need to write this down. I'm afraid I'm going to forget it. And he said, I just kept hearing repeated in my brain, forget this happened.
Just like Bruce.
Yeah.
Like with the bloody nose, you know, don't let him see the blood.
Yeah, exactly. And like in a creepier connection to the phenomena, you hear people with Bigfoot experiences kind of having the same mind speak communication between them and that entity.
I feel like it's a little bit more rare, but yeah, you have heard them cases.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Strange.
It's strange.
I digress.
And ironically enough, you mentioned sleep paralysis. Bruce later on in life does end up experiencing sleep paralysis, but nothing crazy happened to him during his sleep paralysis. He does recall a time when he heard a voice during one of these episodes that told him to go back to sleep, to which he did. All of his fear vanished in that moment and he went right back to sleep. So it's almost exactly what you were just saying.
Yeah, that's it's so weird. I like when I know it's not to the same context, but when you find these little puzzle pieces that link different aspects of the phenomena, like it almost makes you feel like John Keel sitting there and linking things together. Like, oh, this part of this UFO phenomena also links over here to this cryptid phenomena. And you're just like, what is going on?
Yep. And it goes deeper down the hole, because in regards to hearing the voice, I don't personally recall having any form of sleep paralysis, but if all of you could remember,
I knew
I heard a woman's voice say my name for some time. Now, keep in mind, it was a woman's voice that I've never heard before, ever. And as a side note, I'm fucking weird. I remember these stupid things about people. I'll forget your name, your age. I'll forget almost everything about you, but I'll remember the stupidest, smallest little details about you. As an example, while I was in Florida, I literally heard, I was walking off the beach and I heard someone talking behind me. I'm 1,000 miles away from home in a place where I fucking know zero people. I hear someone talk behind me. I know exactly who it is. I turn around. Sure as shit. It's a guy I used to go to high school with / work with.
That is weird.
All because I heard his voice. Further that point, the other night, me and my family went out for dinner. And there was this huge buff guy walking around in there. Looked like he was military. I mean, just jacked. And I noticed his jawline and the way his eyes set on his face. And I'm like, I know this guy. And I sat there and I sat there and I sat there. And I'm like, holy shit. That's a dude I went to high school with. Looks completely different. And I could tell who it was by the way his jaw set on his face and the way his eyes were. I knew who it was. And then sure shit, I remembered one thing about him. On the back of his head, he had a birthmark. So he had this little bitty patch of white hair that would grow right through his birthmark. And as he turned around, I saw the little white patch. I'm like, yep, I know exactly who that is.
Just a little confirmation.
Yeah. Point being, I remember people by the weirdest things. Absolute weirdest things. Well, and from here, this is fucking a kickoff to some of the craziness in this episode that I'm excited for everybody to hear. So one night, Bruce was suddenly awoken and compelled to go outside and witness something. He didn't know what it was, but he knew it was going to be extremely important. And in his head, he had this feeling that he was going to get confirmation of extraterrestrial life, celestial life, whatever. In his head, he knew this was going to happen. He wasn't afraid. He was excited. He's like, holy shit. I'm going to witness this. I might even have conversation with. So you have to keep in mind that as he wakes up and has these thoughts, he's in complete consciousness and he remembers almost thinking to himself that this is a dream. Or could this be a dream? Well, if this is a dream, and it just goes to show like his path in life, because as he's walking out of the house, he almost starts to do this scientific process. He remembers purposely not putting shoes on so he could feel the hardwood underneath his feet. So he could feel the grass, the wet grass underneath his feet. He remembers purposely touching the metal door handle to get the feel of the door. Like he remembers purposely doing these things to prove to himself that this is not a dream, that this is reality.
It's crazy that his brain works like that. But I guess once you've experienced so much stuff at a certain point, like you have to start eliminating that variable that is, right. Is this real?
Right.
Is this really happening?
And it kind of gives a testament of how smart he was as an individual, you know, because most people like that kind of are like that all their life.
Yeah. Like super analytical. Like he's
yes.
Even that's like, it does. It is a different kind of brain frequency there to be essentially reacting to nothing more than a feeling. But also being analytical enough to make sure to know that if whatever's at the end of this feeling is legit, we want to make sure it's legit all the way through.
Yeah. So he gets to walking. He gets out of the house. He starts walking through the neighborhood. And ironically enough, he goes to the general location of the UFO encounter we started all this off with. The kickball thing, the whole nine. He's in that general area of the neighborhood. He sees a bright light above a house. However, this light was extremely different from the first one he saw, the UFO. This one was different because it wasn't just an object in the sky. It was a human in the sky. Wrap your brains around that, and it's going to get weirder. It wasn't that the human was the light. The light was coming from behind the human. So it was creating a silhouette.
That's terrifying.
It was a silhouette of a, drum roll please, adult female. Weird, right? Weird. Because I know of another woman in white that we've talked about.
It's so weird that they consistently use that as like their proxy. You know what I mean?
A woman in white.
Yeah. Because I feel like everything about that is disarming.
100%.
Everything about it is made to put your guard down.
Yeah. And I literally make those exact notes here in a minute.
I was just thinking about it once you said that. And I was thinking the white light, you see white light, you immediately think of like
an angel or something.
Yeah. Peace. Fine. And then you see the female form, which is supposed to be nurturing, supposed to be motherly. It's supposed to be the opposite of threatening. Like it's almost like they have the human psyche mapped out in order to manipulate us.
Exactly. But here's the fucked up thing. It's fucked up enough that it directly correlates with the Bledsoe encounter. However, in this particular case, our boy Bruce ain't no sucker. Okay.
Atta boy, Bruce.
He's no sucker. Cause he knows. He says he knew without a fraction of a doubt that this right here in front of him was nothing more than a creation. This was pure deception.
A fucking trap.
Yep. He's like, I knew that the beings were behind this. And in his words, angelic specter was nothing more than a creation to deceive him.
It's almost like we've had this conversation before.
Right.
And a lot of people didn't like hearing it.
Yep. And it's because I say, you know, this directly correlates with Bledsoe. And I'd say for most men, we easily let our guards down for women. So creating a woman as a distraction or a tool of deception is actually pretty fucking smart.
Yeah. We're ingrained to it.
You know,
like it's supposed to be nurturing. It's supposed to be like a disarmament. Yeah.
You know, just disarm you it makes you comfortable.
Yep, 100%. As soon as you said that with the white light behind it, I said everything about that is specifically created to make you take your walls down, make you feel like there is no threat.
And I would like to know, and that's the thing about people, you can't always trust people, but I would really like to know if there was more to the Bledsoe encounter that gets told. Because in this particular situation, not saying that they are the same, I'm not saying that. I'm just finding it all ironic. But for Bruce in this particular situation, being faced with this deception, he's suddenly paralyzed and he can't move.
So he knew.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know because he describes the situation as being put under almost like he was about to. For anybody who's been put under for surgery, he's like, this is what I've began to feel. Essentially, my vision, my hearing, my touch, it all began to fade rapidly. The last thing he remembers is something being placed over his genitals in a non-sensual manner.
That's terrifying. This whole encounter is sus.
Which I think the last experience that we talked about where he felt like something really bad happened to him, I think it was something similar to this. Because when he says, I feel like something really bad happened to me, I feel like that's it.
Yeah.
Because that's a tough one. That's a tough one, especially for a child to wrap your fucking brain around.
Yeah. There's a lot of shit going on there that's not supposed to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. But he comes to and he's standing in the exact same place, feeling all types of horrible feelings. On the way back home, he goes back inside and he goes right back to sleep. Of course, Bruce does his homework and finds other cases that are similar. Not to mention, we've all heard of abduction cases that result in the collection of sperm or female eggs. However, oddly enough, that's not the only parallel he was able to find. He found another case where a man was taken to have collections of his semen. During his extraction, he was subjected to sexual imagery that was somehow placed within his mind. So there's more manipulation using, ideally, female anatomy. The scariest thing about this encounter is how much Bruce relays in the book how he was awake and it wasn't any form of sleepwalking, sleep paralysis, dreaming. Like he constantly is reassuring the reader, I was conscious during this. I know this happened. I don't know why he was so adamant about this one particular encounter. It's almost like that whatever is in his head is telling him, this is not real. This is not real.
Yeah, like he's convincing himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like the Allagash guy, like, I don't want to forget this, and it's trying to make me forget it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this, something in his head is basically saying, like, this isn't real, or like you're saying, it's trying to erase it from his memory, and he's just constantly driving the nail in.
It makes me wonder if it's the extremeness of this particular abduction with the kind of like sexual experiments and him actually acknowledging that what they're doing with the lady in white is a form of manipulation, that there is malicious intent behind these images that they're putting out. Like, it almost makes me feel like he knew and then they knew. They're like, oh shit, he's caught on to this.
Could be.
Let's do what we can do to try to do damage control.
Could be. Or it could have been why they paralyzed him so quick. And you know what I mean? Like, almost like the plan was falling apart, because in the first UFO encounter, he didn't remember shit.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he's remembering stuff. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's because he started to put it together and they're like, okay, we got a damage control real fast here. We got to go ahead and go through with this because he's on to us.
And if they're that in tune with his brain, like through the implant and stuff, they had to know what he was doing when he was walking out there, because essentially you think it was them leading him out there. That was the feeling first and foremost, was them dragging him out there. So they had to know when he was walking out, like he was making sure that he was conscious as he went through, and he felt the hardwood. He felt the grass under his feet. He touched the metal door frame. Like, they had to be in tune with that. Like, they had to be thinking, he's up to something. This is different.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree.
It's weird.
But it's so mind-numbing to me that even with all of that going on in his mind, he can't explain why he was so compelled to leave his house and go to this location where they were waiting for him. Like, he just, aside from maybe making celestial contact like that, but even as a child, you wouldn't think that that would be of extreme importance.
Oh, it almost feels like a form of hypnosis. You know what I mean? Like, that when people get hypnotized, they don't have to have a reason to balk like a chicken. They just feel the need to do it.
Right.
But it's almost like they can't, with Bruce in particular, it's almost like they can't get him at 100%. They can't fully lock him in, but they can put just enough bait out there to get him curious. And with his analytical scientific mind, a curiosity is probably going to get the better of him most 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
I feel like in other cases, if it weren't Bruce, like if it was me or it was you, we would probably get fully locked in, just walk out there. It's almost like they were going through steps, like their warning lights were going off, right? So they put this in his brain that he needs to come outside. That works. He wakes up, he starts to go outside. Well, then they see him touching the door frame, feeling the grass and stuff. And they're like, all right, he's not 100% here. So they're like, all right, plan B, send out the lady in white, see if this will disarm him. Shoot that in the sky instead of him being like, oh, this is all light and love. This is angelic, blah, blah, blah. He's like, this is sus. So like, yeah. Shit, plan C, code red, knock him the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah, because, and if you pile onto that, they clearly have had the ability to, like, mind wipe him from his own home.
Yeah, and his family, too.
Yeah.
Like, they fully put his family in sometimes.
So why not just do that again?
Maybe they're, it almost feels like a science experiment.
That's what I mean. Like, that's why I'm saying add on to your theory here of, like, we need him fully locked in because this is all falling apart rapidly.
Maybe they're testing the implant or something.
Maybe. I don't know. But it's fucking strange.
And maybe, like, I'm sure whatever they're doing has different effects and different conclusions with different people. So maybe he's one of them one-offs that, like, most of their technology isn't fully.
It might just be the way his brain works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know his brain doesn't work like yours and mine.
No, let's hope not.
Yeah, right. But if all this isn't crazy enough, here's the situation I've been waiting for. Because there's been a couple times while reading where I thought this situation was going to show up, and then it would avert to another story.
Yeah, Kyle was pre-gaming this pretty hard because he texted me out of the blue. He's like, I've been waiting for this to show up. And he's like, if it did, he was like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to find the text message. Yep. And let me find it here. Hey, Holocult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about Mood, an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Mood's found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focus and enhanced creativity, try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com, and that's promo code HOLO. It was he's been, you've been straight up just waiting for it.
Yeah, I have. So I had a feeling it was gonna happen. I wasn't sure, and like I said, there was one story where I was like, oh shit, is this gonna be it? And it wasn't, and I was like, oh damn, you know, maybe we aren't that similar. And then it hit.
I found it. So this is a text message I got from Kyle. He said, well, that does it. Third episode's going to be effing wild, man. I'm getting a hold of this dude. I've been waiting for a certain situation to hit in the book, and it just did. So here we are.
Yep, here we are. So
here we are.
And it's fucked because so many of my experiences have lined up with this guy. And I can't even believe, like, there's a part of me that can't even believe that I'm getting ready to, like, express this to everyone. But during one night, Bruce wakes up in his bed, and at the opposite wall near the front of the house, I'm assuming room. I don't know why I said house, but he focuses his eyes to the right of a table lamp, which was obviously on a table. Not far from his bed, he describes, a foot or so away, he sees it, a semi-transparent gray silhouette of a small humanoid. He could see through this being enough still that he could see the table lamp. It also seemed that the being was either laying Bruce's head down on the pillow or turning his head to face the entity. Now, this encounter is similar to mine in a few ways. One night I was laying in bed. I woke up to a noise at my window. I remember a noise like something slapped the screen, the outside screen of your window. Then I scanned my room and witnessed pixelated eyes in between my desk and dresser, which was roughly 3 feet away. I, of course, don't have any memory of the being any closer or touching me. But it is pretty fucking insane to me that I have had so much of my life's alien encounters line up, and then this is one of my pivotal moments of having that thing in my room and witnessing it. And to a varying degree, he has the same experience, because he scans his room toward, he describes his table lamp, which is pretty fucking similar to a desk, being on, you know,
yeah,
the whole fucking nine. And it's crazy. It's just crazy. He describes the being, I think he says, like, about 3.5 feet tall. And you think about the average size of a desk, and the eyes that I saw were almost level with the desk, in between my desk and dresser. So that puts it roughly the same size, you know, and it just hit like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Whenever this story finally dropped. And this is like one of his last stories. Because I was like, it feels like one of us copied each other, because our stories are so fucking similar.
That's what I said when we were talking about, even up to the, before this particular encounter, like, I fully believe that you could have been a case study for Bruce. So many things, so many parallels line up. Cause I mean, even like he said, there was a transparency to the face, and you said the eyes look digital. Like, those, I feel like those two could be very, very similar, just being described by two different children.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's why I thought this was so fucking close. This is so fucking nuts.
Yeah. They could be interchangeable.
It is similar.
Yeah. Could be completely interchangeable. Yep. In the eyes of a third grader, which is bonkers.
Dude, it's so fucking crazy how much of our stories link up.
It is.
Between me and his.
And like, not to discount that, but the fact that there are other people that also fall under the same parallel umbrella,
yeah,
of having similar experiences.
And none of this really was brought to light until I, like, read this book and I realize, holy fucking shit, I've had a lot of the experience, like, a lot. And it's weird having one similar experience to somebody else. Because you kind of feel like you're onto something. You're like, oh shit, we've both, like, varying degrees, been in the same situation, but the fact that I have a handful, a fucking handful that match his handful
is nuts.
Is insanity. And then, like you're saying, other people coming forward, messaging us, saying, hey, you know, ironically enough, in about third grade is also when I started becoming obsessed with UFOs.
Yeah. And his case studies. You feel like his case studies have to be in a general vicinity of things that he experienced. That way he can corroborate his experiences with other people's experiences.
Right.
So, like, that is crazy. It is. It's almost like a science experiment.
Yeah. Absolutely. Change
minute variables. Like the person, the human will be different, but everything else will be the same.
Yeah.
We'll see how they react. We see how they respond. We see how they remember. We see the psychological toll it takes on them, which is fucked.
And then on top of all that, I don't remember the exact dates. I wish I would have thought about it and wrote it down. But I bet Bruce has got 20 years on me, which goes to show how long these things, I mean, just even in our lifetime, you're looking at least 20 years of the same fucking shit across the board.
That's just A, people that remember.
Yeah.
B, people that remember and come forward. And C, people that remember and come forward and interacted with us or with Bruce.
Yeah.
So there is probably, this is probably just a fraction of people who have similar experiences.
I agree. And I'm not a person that jumps to conclusions at all. I get excited about shit, but I will always like go back and check it myself and be like, you know, I could see it being this or I could see it being that. I don't see a way out of this one.
No.
At all.
There's probably a dozen you could write off just from the three episodes.
Yeah. And like I said, you could literally go back to virtually our first episode 5 years ago and hear my individual UFO explanations and then go and then listen to these three and go, fuck, Kyle's not lying. Like he talked about this 5 years ago. And then to you, that mean we're talking 15 plus years ago.
Yeah.
I told you about the stories.
Essentially before, I mean, these books were ever written.
Oh yeah.
He was probably coming to terms with his experiences about the same time that you were.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. It is crazy. And and as far as like personal experience and the craziness of Bledsoe, that's kind of where that ends. But the episode doesn't stop being nuts because he included information like from there, from his personal experiences, he started like diving into these little beings themselves. Kind of started brainstorming, if you will, about them and collecting information on them and trying to learn as much about them as he can. So he goes into information on these little fuckers. And he starts to find information from Lieutenant Colonel Corso's description of the aliens, ironically enough, match Bruce's and many others, which is the description we all know as Grays. However, something I haven't heard yet, and as far and not to jump off course here, but Colonel Corso, for anyone that doesn't know, he was able to have witnessed the alien bodies of the 1947 Roswell crash. So he describes them, you know, as the Gray. Big head, small arms, small legs. Most notable, the iconic eyes, the almond-shaped eyes. But with these almond eyes. So apparently these bodies were, they basically had autopsies done on them. And they were done by Walter Reed pathologists. And they discovered that the dark elliptical eyes that we all know and love were actually eye pieces. They had a thin layer of skin that were over the eyes. These eye pieces would essentially work like night vision goggles. They would reflect existing light in the complete darkness, allowing them to illuminate and intensify images. And that, and Corso also claims that they, that the U.S. military reverse engineered these, and that's what led to some of the current night vision that we have today.
That screams Predator.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. Because, I mean, why else would you need to see better than everything else in the dark unless you're going after everything else in the dark?
Absolutely. And it also makes sense because everybody always questions our massive leaps in technology. Just, you know what I mean? So there, that right there adds to it.
Yeah.
Just adds to it. And then it just makes sense. It makes sense that they would have that on their eyes because they always fuck with people in the dark. It makes perfect sense. And to add on top of all that, apparently the grays that we know and love are not actually gray. They have almost, it's almost like a little spacesuit that they're wearing that makes them appear gray. Because the pathologists actually cut this off of them. And these observations were made where the little grays had more, their bones are more fibrous than humans, which would make them far more flexible and more likely to withstand different types of mechanical forces. Also makes sense, being that we can't explain how they're able to manipulate UFOs, because the average person, it would kill them.
Oh yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Right? Their heart and lungs are also bigger than ours, which would suggest that they were bioengineered for a thinner atmosphere. Their heart would not only pump, but it stored a large amount of blood as well. It also had diaphragm-like muscles, which would help the heart work less. Also in the autopsy reports for these little beings, they seem to lack digestive or excretory systems. The pathologists seem to think that any waste would go through their skin, which is pretty fucking bizarre. It's almost like they would sweat everything out.
Yeah, I've heard that somewhere else.
And back to the gray skin. Beneath the gray skin, which they think that the gray skin is nothing more than a protective suit. And I'm not exactly sure. The wording was a little wonky on this. And I don't know if it's speculation on what they had to use, but it says in the book, also they seem to have had to use a diamond saw to cut through it, or something like a diamond saw.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
To get through the outer, like the skin layer?
The gray layer.
Whoa. Yeah. Which would explain a lot.
Yeah.
Terrestrial weaponry not really having much of an effect. Yeah. People shooting arrows and shit at it and it bouncing off. People shooting.
I thought the exact same thing.
Did they say what color the skin was underneath?
I think it's white.
Because that's weird. I was listening to Abduction Cases on the way to work today because I guess that's what I do now at this point in my life. But there was a police officer that was abducted. And he was talking about describing the beings, and when initially asked, he said gray skin, but he was like, the more I thought about it, it wasn't gray. He's like, it was almost white. He's like, it's almost a stigma that I said gray because they're referred to as the grays. That's weird. It's a weird correlation.
Yeah. Yeah. So underneath that gray tissue or gray suit, whatever the fuck it was, they found an inner skin in the form. It's almost like a thin, fatty tissue. So basically, without being smart and going into all of the asinine amount of details, I'm telling you guys, it is ridiculous at this part of the book how much medical and scientific information he throws at you.
He goes full on scientist.
Full on nerd, dude.
Full on factologist.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. But essentially, the aliens, in order to hydrate and get nutrients, they would take these suits off and step into tanks and absorb everything through that skin, which was found by David Jacobs, who investigates UFOs and abductee, or an abductee came forward with this information and how she witnessed all of this firsthand. Also, they have found alien-human hybrids that lack umbilical cords floating in these same style of tanks, which another abductee comes forward and says. They also state that these hybrids were placed in tanks for feeding. Another woman was told that the fetuses get everything from the liquid tanks. So these women who are in these situations are asking these ETs questions, and they are like mind speaking with them, explaining to them what is going on inside these tanks. They also found that these aliens have no way of eating or talking. No tongue, no saliva, no teeth, not even vocal cords. However, military personnel at the scene of the 47 crash said they could sense profound sadness and the fact that these beings were in great pain. So that instantly goes to this whole telepathic kind of consciousness connection they're able to do.
Yeah. It's almost like they're way evolutionarily advanced than we are. Because think about it. The way that we take in nutrients and expel nutrients is very, I don't know, primitive. You know, like you have to prep the food, you have to eat the food, you have to do this, you have to do that, where all they have to do is step into a tank, get out, and excrete it out their skin, which I've heard in other investigations that they link cattle mutilations and things like that to whatever these gray beings are feeding, that they take in the proteins through their skin. Interestingly enough.
It's weird.
Just strange that it kind of piggybacks off of that.
Well, keep that in mind here, because oddly enough, the pathologists were more impressed, which doesn't sound like it at first, but they were more impressed by how much these beings were like us, despite all the differences. The brain is larger than ours, but extremely similar. An EEG brain wave recording revealed low frequency waves resembling those recorded from human brains during deep sleep. These waves would be classified as delta waves. And once again, all of this points to Bruce and his theory that the small aliens were bioengineered. Furthermore, Bruce goes into gene editing. Like I said, he goes full nerd through these last sections, but he goes into full gene editing mode and how we can even create things like the gray at this point using things like CRISPR, which is gene editing enzymes.
Which opens a whole new door.
Yeah. Well, it keeps going here. It sounds like CRISPR can not only be used to remove things like the gastrointestinal system, like the grays, but it can also be used to cause genetic mutations as well. So essentially evolution to varying degrees. Bruce seems to think that these grays may have been created from us by some overseeing extraterrestrial race. He thinks that the most likely scenario, they would have used Homo habilis and Homo erectus to achieve these grays. Because in order And it's fucking weird, but it makes sense to me. So he's explaining how you would essentially grow a bigger brain in something. And the way he explains it, it reminds me of RPGs. So in order to have the larger brain, he thinks that you would need a high meat intake and high fat intake, which may also result in a smaller digestive system on its own. He also, the way he describes it, like I said, it reminds me, and he does it fucking way smarter than me, but this is how I'm going to explain it. It's like an RPG, a role-playing game. You get points to spend on creating your character, right? So you have to choose where to put these points, be it strength, speed, wits, whatever it is.
Intelligence.
Right? Because he says that the BMR and caloric consumption may not have been enough to create the larger gray brain. So it suggests that bioengineering is introduced, and it's done to eliminate things like the digestive system to aid in a bigger brain. So it's like you're sacrificing portion, just like you would an RPG. Like you're like, oh, I want to make my guy stronger. Well, like, I'm gonna have to take points out of his intelligence to do this. And it makes perfect fucking sense.
And I was also like, to circle back on things that we said about like the cattle mutilations and stuff, where it says it needs fats and proteins to grow a bigger brain. Oh, there you go.
Exactly.
And then eliminating, like, even beyond like taking it away as a hindrance, think of all the ailments you're eliminating if you eliminate the digestive system.
Oh yeah.
You know, many things that could go wrong. You're eliminating. You don't have to fuck with. So it's almost a step in a higher direction. And you got my brain, like my brain's all over the place here. Talking about ancient CRISPR, like we could just be a failed experiment of someone trying to create the grays.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like taking ancient man, Homo erectus and stuff, and then gene manipulating it to try to achieve this perfect interstellar traveler. Well, you come up with humans, you're like,
we fucked up.
That's not that good.
That one over there is constipated.
Yeah.
That's not gonna work in space travel.
Good luck with indigestion, motherfuckers. Like, see,
that guy's got heartburn so bad he's puking. And we're gonna have to go ahead and get rid of some of this stuff.
Yeah, like, but just leave them on Earth. Just set them over there. They got thick bones, leave them on Earth.
Yeah, exactly. But it is crazy, like when he the way he breaks it down, and my brain goes to that correlation of RPGs, and it makes sense that, like, if you're able to remove things like the digestive system, the body's not going to have all that extra resource going to the digestive system. It's going to start feeding these other functions, like the brain. If you wanted the brain, because the brain's going to need more caloric intake or whatever it takes to grow the brain bigger, so it's going to need more resources. So they just figured out a way how to eliminate things so it gets more resources.
It's so weird when you look at evolution through a CRISPR vantage point, because, like, think of the organs in our body that we don't even need. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's quite a few of them that if they fuck up, you can just take out. You ain't got to fuck with that anymore. Like, we don't even know why that's there. Sometime way back, million years ago, that was probably a very important organ.
Right.
Now
it doesn't even fucking matter.
No, just take that bitch out of there. Oh. It's almost like it was trial and error, and here we are stuck. It's like,
it is weird. It is weird.
It's like, well, these guys are traveling galactic distances. You humans, good luck with cancer, because that just sucks.
Yeah, and eating raw meat.
Yeah.
Idiots.
That's fucking crazy.
So in the end, Bruce is kind of starting to theorize here. Is it possible that the aliens have just been an instrument in the acceleration of the human evolution? Which in the end, it could be preparing us for some type of cosmic community, as Bruce suggests. But he's like, he smarts a lot, and he's like, it's like, sure, that is a possible outcome. However, it's far more likely that the scenario isn't that cool. He's like, it's more likely that the alien agenda would be more of a colonization. And this is like a quote because I don't fully comprehend this shit. See if you can grasp it. The alien agenda would be more of colonization accompanied by what he says, animal husbandry directed at genetically domesticating and enhancing the dominant indigenous species on Earth.
Yeah, us. Like, yeah. Like how we.
I did kind of put that together now that I read it.
Yeah. Like how we domesticated dogs or how we domesticated farm animals. Like that would be their end goal.
Yeah.
Hey, so like we have the bigger brains. We're definitely well smarter than these humans, but these humans, they're pretty strong and they do a lot of dumb shit. If we get them to do dumb stuff for us and
strong stuff.
Yeah. And strong stuff.
Cause we're not strong.
Yeah. We'll just give them little treats here and there. Promise we won't chop them up in front of everybody else. Yeah. That's what I was thinking when you said like cosmic community. I said, we are going to be the outcast of the cosmic community. We're going to be one standing over in the corner by ourselves and all the enlightened, super, super advanced. They're going to be like, don't go talk to the smelly humans over here because they ain't quite got it figured out yet.
100%. So instead of aiding us in our evolution, it could be that they're simply here to control the human race and its activities.
Which makes way more sense because we are a prime example. We find species that we feel like are below us, and what do? We see how we can manipulate them. Can we eat them? Yeah, eat them. Can we use them to move heavy stuff? Yep, let's do it. Send it, you know? To think that stops higher up the evolutionary food chain is probably wrong.
Yeah, because, you know, Bruce, he's pretty much sold that at the end of the day, their plans for us suck. And he worries that these little grays, that they are nothing more than bioengineered worker bees. And maybe they're creating us for the same task to replace them on the food chain. And he even admits he's like, and you know what? Their plan might even be way fucking worse than that.
Yeah, I don't trust them.
No. If you're not trying to talk, you're just trying to fucking probe people and do dumb shit, you're probably not that cool.
And the whole idea that they're bioengineered opens up a lot of terrible doors because essentially you could have aspects of our government already bioengineering these things, which we've heard before. Max Spears says a lot of abductions aren't even alien.
Yeah.
So they have their whole army, which
didn't Greer even say something to that effect
about them being produced. They're like biomechanical being produced underneath the ground and these dumbs and shit. Like alien abductions don't even have to be alien now.
And you know what? Feeding off that, what if we are like the military is creating the grays in the dumbs. However, it's a learned creation from the actual grays. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you like when Greer makes that statement, you would think that all grays are these ones that we've created. However, that might not be the case.
No. You had to have a blueprint somewhere.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Which now, yeah, that.
That's gross. That's fucked
up. Two nefarious puppet masters, one well lower than the main one, manipulating Johnny Q Public out here.
Yeah, and then you would have one even higher up than the Greys, because you would have one race that created the Greys.
Yeah.
In this theory.
Yeah.
Which sucks. Well up
the food chain.
Yeah, that sucks.
I wish I just realized that we're not that cool and just leave us alone.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah. That's the end of that. It's been a fucking really weird story. And like I said, you guys should read the book because he smarts way better than me and Steve. And he really dives into the nitty gritty on all that stuff.
Yeah. Drop the name of the book again real quick. I can never remember.
It's Dominion Lost.
Yeah, that's right. I saw.
I'll read the exact title because it does have a longer title than that. You can search Dominion Lost on Amazon and it'll definitely pull it up. But the one that I bought, I'm a gun. Dominion Lost, a scientist's own abduction encounters, whatever. It's a weird book title with a little gray alien over top of a kid on a table or some shit.
That's what I saw too. Yeah.
I did see another version of it on there, but I think it's the exact same book. It just was a different cover or something.
It was.
It's a good book though.
Interesting series. I would love, like,
weird.
We're essentially trying to reach out to him to see if he wants to come on and talk. I would love to just be a fly on the wall and watch you two spitball back and forth.
I would like for him, like me, to just sit there and tell him everything that I went through UFO wise as a kid, and then him be like, well,
yeah.
And then I'm gonna go fuck.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Hypnotic regression time.
Yeah. Dude, I think it would be crazy to sit and talk to him and tell him everything that I went through.
Oh, 100%.
He's so smart. He would. I bet the amount of information he's done on all of this stuff, he would just start rattling off asinine things.
In my brain, how that would work, in my brain, being kind of outside the box, looking in at you two experiencers, I just see him sitting there almost like a therapist with a patient, and you have this clipboard and it's got a checklist of boxes.
Yeah.
As Kyle's going through, he's like, yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Well, Kyle, you got 18 out of 20.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say you probably got fucked up, bud.
Yeah. Yep.
It's
wild. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Hopefully we can eventually get a hold of him and get him on the show, because that would be fucking crazy.
Like I said, I found his Facebook and it wouldn't let me add him through the show, which I try to do because that's way more professional than being like, hey, Steve just wants to be your friend, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But they wouldn't let me message him and it wouldn't let me add him. So I might have to go through my personal page. If I do and I can get a hold of him, I'll just leave a little intro message.
Well, he hasn't responded to anything to me on Instagram.
I saw he has been making the rounds on shows, though, according to his Facebook page.
Oh, really?
Recently, he's been on a bunch of interviews.
Oh, so shit.
He is probably well open to it. You just have to either catch him or his PR team at the right point.
Maybe I can find an email or something.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Like I said, I would even just love to be a fly on the wall and listen to you two spitball back and forth and kind of corroborate each other's experiences. That would be... I'd just be like, what in the fuck is happening?
Yeah. I bet it'd be fucking crazy, man. I wish he had. I'm not seeing any. Ooh, there is a Gmail.
There it is.
It's for the book itself, but.
I mean, that has to be aligned to somebody that can get a hold of him if yep. at very least.
Yep. Yep. I'm going to email it.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good, interesting conversation.
Oh, yeah, me too.
That'd be awesome.
I think it'd be awesome.
So, yeah, that might be in the works, Holocult. That was a heater of a series. Like, it's so... I'm sure it's different for me than it is for you that has experienced to kind of sit outside the box and watch these things connect. And like I said, it just blows my mind that there's so many people that have almost identical, not even similar, almost identical experiences.
Yeah. Yep. That's the way I feel about it. And it's so surreal just how it all happened, like just randomly picking a book. And I've told my story countless times throughout here and on Tony's show and so on and so forth. And I've never really heard it that much line up. But the fact that I just pick one random book and start reading it and it's like, holy shit.
It almost makes you wonder if something on that cover like triggered something in your brain.
Maybe. I don't know. You know
what I mean, like this feels familiar to me.
I mean, think of even the fucking title. It's Dominion Lost, a scientist's own alien abduction case.
Yeah. Nothing that would essentially
like scream like this is the greatest story you're ever gonna read.
Kyle, this is what happened to you. Yeah. Well, you're not a scientist.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're a factologist.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was weird. It was a good series. Yeah, we'll wrap that up there. Hopefully, like we said, we can get a hold of Bruce and get him on the show and have him and Kyle go back and forth on whatever is going on, because
I'm down for it.
Something's up. Something sus. We hope you enjoyed the series. Hope you enjoyed our hanging out with us today. Everybody be safe in the rest of your work week. And again, thanks for choosing us. I'm giving you a thumbs up.
It's appreciated.
Here at the Hollow Sky Podcast, we appreciate you all. Until then, check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and come and be part of the cult. Stay safe. Stay weird. And if any of you have similar experiences to this, that check these boxes that you heard in these three episodes, shoot it to us. We've had people already telling us, like, third grade is a very pivotal time for abductions and interest in this thing. If there's anything that lines up, hit us up, because there's something to this.
Yeah, especially if you are listening to this and you have had similar experiences to me and Bruce here, send them over and listen to our experience, whatever, because that'll be more information that we get to take to Bruce if we get to have that conversation. Because we could say, you know, not only so there's my encounters, but now I've got all these other people who've been emailing in the same encounters. Look at how vast this is, just between a small rinky dinky podcast and a scientist writing a book.
Yeah, 100%.